Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery. This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm excited today to be joined by Dr. John Bussell. John's a physician by background. Now he's involved in system leadership as CEO. He runs the Bates County Memorial Health System. We're going to talk to him about advice for leaders, priorities, and also about how this career evolves. We're so many more of this. We've got physician leaders who become system CEOs. Dr. Bussell, thank you for joining us. And can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Scott. I really appreciate you having me on your podcast. This is a pleasure. I am a chief executive officer and chief medical officer of a 60-bed hospital about an hour outside of Kansas City. We're 60 licensed beds with four rural health clinics and really focusing a lot on our outpatient specialty clinics now.
And talk to us just for a moment about being a rural health system in today's America, how challenging it is, how do you keep yourself great? Just a couple thoughts around sort of rural healthcare in today's world.
Sure. Rural healthcare is one of the most difficult places to be in. We have declining revenues, we have declining volumes, especially on the inpatient side. And so we're really having to focus on what can we do to keep patients local and provide as good or better quality of care as any health system in the competing metro areas. So for the services that we provide, we want to do as well or better than any of the hospitals in Kansas City. So we really need to focus our growth on outpatient specialty clinics, surgery, those types of things, and we need to do a great job of the providing the care that we do.
So it's really trying to be great in not so many areas, to be focused in the areas you could be great in. And just give us a moment about your career and how that evolved. Sure. From practicing physician, CMO to CEO. A little bit about that.
Yeah, I'd say it happened pretty organically. Can't look back at, when I decided to become a doctor in high school, don't really think that I ever thought that I would become a hospital CEO or anything like that. But as I came out of residency, I've been at Bates County here for about 10 years. I took on more and more leadership roles. I was able to be a medical director in our clinic, took on a lot of committee memberships and medical directorships of different departments of the hospital, able to step in as chief of staff. One of the things that I learned pretty early on is the best way to grow quickly is to take on a lot of responsibilities that no one else wants to do. So I think that is something that I just stepped in, did a lot of things pretty early on, learned a lot, grew quickly, and I was able to step in as the physician lead for the patient-centered medical home for our clinics. Worked a lot with NCQA. That's really where I started having a lot of exposure to quality metrics, quality improvement, continuous improvement type ideas. And then we had an opportunity to change our EMRs. Our old EMR system, NextGen, sold off their inpatient and financial components to a competing EHR company. And so we'd end up having to make a transition there, and we chose Athena. We were in the middle of our EMR conversion. I was the physician champion of the EMR conversion during that project, and learned a lot during that process of project management and billing protocols and all the good things that go along with the EMR conversion. And ultimately, our CEO had an opportunity to advance his career, and he left to go to a bigger hospital elsewhere. So we were about 6 months from go live. I was chief of staff of the hospital, physician lead of the EMR, and ultimately talked to the board as our CEO announced his resignation. And he supported me, a lot of our managers supported me in stepping in as an interim CEO. And it wasn't necessarily the plan for me to continue doing that full time. However, after about 3-4 months, we all felt like it was a good fit for me, and I enjoyed doing it. A lot of the managers wanted me to keep doing it, and the board ultimately selected me to continue on in the CEO role full time. And so I've been doing that for about 3 years now. Had an opportunity to get a master's in healthcare management over the last 2 years, and actually just graduated yesterday from the Harvard School of Public Health.
Well, congratulations. What an amazing career and evolution in the leadership. Did it just grab you? Did it become more of a passion to get more and more involved in leadership? Because that's sometimes where the best organic things happen. How did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I came out of residency, I had been chief resident my third year of residency and family medicine residency at the University of Kansas. And so I had a little bit of exposure to leadership there. But as I came here, I really just wanted to plug in and become a great clinician. That was my first priority, is I wanted to be the best doctor I could be. I wanted the best quality scores. I wanted the most efficient practice. I wanted to have great patient satisfaction. And I'm not going to sit here and claim that I was the best doctor that we had in our health system by any means. However, that was my priority. And I think to get that credibility first, you have to be a good physician before you can step into leadership roles. And I think that needs to be your priority. So by making that my priority first, I was able to get the credibility to step into those leadership roles and be able to take on more and more of the leadership here in the hospital and health system.
And take a moment, as you studied leadership, as you've always been in sort of leadership capacities, now merged into CEO capacity, any two or three pieces of advice that you would have for leaders?
I think that, the first thing, that leadership is about servanthood. I think that you have to have a servant mindset to be able to be a good leader. And you need to go into any opportunity and saying, how can I be of service to them? One of the great things, Ron Goodspeed was one of the professors in this master's program. And one of the things that he told us is, you have to always think it's not about you. And that's really stuck with me is, when I'm making decisions, it's not about me. It's about what I can do to serve our organization, what it is to, put the organization first and not make decisions that are focused on me. And everything seems to fall in place if you keep those tenets in mind.
So number one, servant leadership, and really looking, it's not about you, it's about the organization, it's about talents, it's about people, it's about the community, it's about everything but yourself. And any other core thoughts or theses you've come across or that you think about when you think about leadership?
Especially thinking about hospital and healthcare leadership, we do have to put our people first. I think sometimes we think that the patient needs to come first, and they do. I mean, that's ultimately what we're here for. Our mission as a hospital is to continually improve the health of the people of our community. That's our mission. But the only way we can do that is if we have great caregivers and caretakers and the staff. And so we have to prioritize them, take care of them, make sure that they're taking care of themselves, especially in the midst of this pandemic. We need to put their safety first so that they can be able to take great care of our patients and fulfill our mission to the community. Other things that I've learned through the last few years is developing a group of leaders that you can rely on and have access to has been incredibly important to me. This, again, through the master's program, the program is a physician cohort. So there's 25 physicians who I have direct access to, who will give me advice and a completely unfiltered opinion on certain things as we're moving forward here. And I've been able to get a lot of information from them that I would never be able to get from a news article or even from people here in the organization. So having a group of leaders that you can rely on, that you can access anytime, has been incredibly vital for me, especially during a time of crisis.
So 25 physician cohorts in a program, master's program at Harvard School of Public Health. In terms of the overall, all good people, any unexpected arrogance, any expected pleasure, what was your overall take of these 25 people that are leaders going to Harvard Law or Harvard Medical School program?
So, going into this program, I didn't know what to expect. I'm from a smaller hospital in Missouri, and a lot of these people were from large health systems. The Secretary of Health was in the program. I mean, a lot of pretty big name people. And I was amazed at the humility that they brought into this program. I mean, you have to think mid-career physicians who are willing to go back and get a master's, and not only a master's, but, you know, there was a significant time commitment as well. So both summers was a 3-week time commitment. And then every other month for a long weekend, 4 days in class, ultimately 70 days in class for this program over 2 years. To be able to have that level of commitment, you have to be willing to take a step back and become a student. And so I was amazed at the level of humility and the level of sharing that we all had, and the bond that we developed over those 2 years. It's pretty amazing bond that we created.
So two more questions there. Anybody else that was from rural healthcare, rural health systems and so forth?
Yeah, a couple of us were. I would say the majority of them were from larger health systems. But I think that, you know, we all brought a different perspective, and I think they did a great job of choosing a diverse class. So we had people from MD Anderson we had people from California, quite a few from large health systems in New York. I mean, just everybody brought a different perspective, and we learned as much from each other as we did from the program itself.
Dr. Bessel, a pleasure hearing about sort of how you look at leadership, also your experience with the Harvard School of Public Health program, just fantastic. Take a moment and tell us about two or three of the top priorities that you have right now at the Bates County Memorial Health System.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. And, you know, I think right now one of our keys is reopening the hospital safely. As we're coming out of the peak of the pandemic, we really want to advance our care. So we've got a lot of delayed medical care out there, and we've forgotten how costly that can be for patients. We have a lot of patients who have had heart attacks and strokes at home who didn't even come into the ER because they were afraid to come into the hospital. We've got delayed cancer diagnoses from mammograms and colonoscopies that have been delayed. And so one of the things that we really are focusing on right now is reopening the hospital safely. We want to be safe with our team members. We want to keep everybody from, you know, getting COVID and coronavirus. We want to keep our patients safe as they come in here as well. So we're really amassing a campaign to communicate with our community. We want to make sure that they know the importance of prioritizing their health. And we want them to know that it's safe to come to the hospital, because we're taking every step that we can to keep our facility clean, to screen patients as they come in the doors, to make sure that we are offering care in a safe environment. And so that's really what we're pushing right now. And we were able to make a nice video for focusing on some of our providers, giving some input to the community. And we really want to let people know that we are here for them. We're here for their health, and we want to focus on the things that we need to take care of them. And we're doing everything we can to do that.
In a follow-up question, let me ask you a follow-up question on that. What's the level of patient confidence or fear about coming back? What's the sense you get in the community from speaking to people and so forth?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of fear. They think that if they come to the hospital, they're going to get coronavirus. And, you know, I think that there are certainly some hospitals that have more level of that than we do. But I don't know that it's any higher risk to come here, especially just to go get some lab done or go to our imaging department, than, say, to go to Walmart and be around a lot of people who aren't wearing masks. I think that we have created a much more structured environment where we are limiting the number of people that are coming in. We're triaging patients who are higher risk or at least have symptoms through the ER so that we can manage them more appropriately. And so we're trying to keep clean spaces, and we can just control that better than a restaurant can, or better than most shopping areas can. So I think there's a misconception that it's dangerous to come to the hospital. We really want patients to know that it's safe to come here.
Thank you. And you were going to touch on, I think, one more priority before I cut you off.
Or maybe yeah, two. So I think that as far as the next steps are we need to make sure that we're evolving our organization to meet the needs of the new normal. We are never going to go back to exactly the way we were before the pandemic hit. There have been a lot of changes already through this. We've seen a lot of innovation. We have seen a lot of things that that will change the way that we provide patient care moving forward. So a lot of people are talking about telemedicine. That's something that we've really embraced and stepped up significantly. We had a lot of restrictions on telemedicine prior to this, and with the waivers, we've been able to offer much more telemedicine to our community, and our patients have really liked that. But there's also other things that we need to do to become more sophisticated in our business. It's a great opportunity to do that as we are needing to focus on our finances more and more, is get better at cost accounting, use AI as much as possible, get technology and embrace that in our services. And as a hospital, again, we're still trying to focus on expanding our outpatient service lines. So we want to provide more and more care here locally that will be able to bolster the hospital, but also take care of patients where they don't have to drive an hour or go to an area that has a higher level of coronavirus than we do locally.
Well, fantastic. And any favorite places for dinner or drinks in Harvard Square or in Boston or in the area?
So I will say when we were there, there was a lot of studying going on, a lot of classwork. As far as one of the places that we went to a lot was Capitol Grill. Not anything super special for Boston, but that was kind of our place on Sunday nights for the weekends.
Sure. Right in the hotel there.
Not in the hotel. It was down the,
okay.
Down on a different road. So Legal Seafoods was one of my favorites, great lobster rolls and, excellent clam chowder, lobster bisque everywhere. The seafood was fantastic.
So a great, great experience.
Yeah. Overall, fantastic experience. Learned a lot. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
That's fantastic. Dr. Bustle, it's a great pleasure visiting with you today. Where can people learn more about Bates County Memorial Health System and yourself? Where can they learn more?
So our website is bcmhospital.com. BCM as in Bates County Memorial Hospital.com. Certainly LinkedIn would be a great place to connect with me. I love connecting with people and networking, getting to know other healthcare leaders and leaders in general. Those would be two best ways to see what we're doing.
Well, fantastic. John, Dr. Bustle, what a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you for joining us. It's just a pleasure visiting with you and hearing about your experience and what you're doing, your thoughts on leadership. I thought great thoughts on leadership. Just really a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.